All right. Since you're on time, so shall we. So it's 9 a.m. Thank you for joining early in the morning the SDR Dev Room. So it's going to be a full day of talks today, fully packed. So hopefully we can keep the schedule. And if you want to switch from one room to another, we'll try to keep the schedule as planned initially. Quick word of introduction, software-defined radio and DSP. Why do we have this title this year? Every year, for the last few years, there's been a couple of submissions to FOSDEM, ham radio and software-defined radio. And unfortunately, the FOSDEM organizers have a hard time figuring out that that's two different fields. It's got radio in it, but this year, to try to differentiate discrete time, complex sample, IQ processing from software-controlled radio, we added the digital signal processing. And well, this year, that's the one that was selected. So thank you for joining. As I was not so kindly reminded, as non-ham radio, we are not supposed to broadcast, at least those of you who do not have a ham radio license. So I just wanted to remind you that in case you wish to broadcast a signal, you must comply with industrial, scientific, and medical band regulations, which I put back for you here. So we've got some HF, we've got some UHF, we've got some S-band, we've got some C-band. So we've got plenty of ISM, non-licensed bands to broadcast on. And anyway, there's so many useful signals out there, so that we have so much to receive already to decode that there's plenty of signal to analyze anyway. The power levels are all defined, limitation on radiated power, and duty cycles are provided in the ITU regulation. So I'm not going to read the whole 160 or something pages of the ITU. So start already by broadcasting only the ISM bands, then comply with regulations. And I'm going to show you actually how you can broadcast below the terminal noise, which means that even in all the other bands, you all have the noise limit where you won't be detected anyway. Another topic that I really enjoy about FOSDEM is not being a so-called scientific conference, where actually people don't just want to show off results, but they really want to share how they achieve the results and how they did it. So I checked on the FOSDEM SDR Dev Room, all the contributors provided a GitHub so that you could reproduce their experiments. And during the Christmas vacations, as I was reading Dan Wong's book comparing the Western politicians with their lawyer background and the Chinese politicians with engineering background and how they tackle probably much the same issues, I was attracted to this paragraph where they highlight why Shenzhen is so, and Hong Kong, of course, is so successful. And they argue that that it's a community of engineering practice, whereas in the Western Silicon Valley, we're obsessed with creating new stuff and a new invention. Shenzhen is more about viewing blueprints and technological progress as training of better scientists, manufacturers, doing technology as people and process knowledge. And I believe that at this gathering, we have the few people in Europe that are still in this mind of engineering as a way of life, as a rather than just a day job for getting money. So I really enjoy organizing this presentation with these people. So a few highlights. This is a very personal summary of this year, of the last year, which has no claim of exhaustivity. It's just a few ideas I had from this year. We've received, you might have heard, a Blue Ghost mission, which landed on the moon. And so it was sponsored by the Italian Space Agency and the National Space Agency of America, so the NASA. And what they did is they recorded global navigation satellite signals from the moon, on their path to the moon and on the moon. And they released the IQ data on the CERN website, where you will find on the Zenono record here, all the data that they collected. And they, when they released the data, they had a meeting in Rome for 2 days. If you're interested, I didn't find the release of a recording of a video conference, but I do have a copy on my computer if you're interested. The first day was mostly political stuff from ESA, but the second day was really technical about the Luger mission. And they released data, and they opened a challenge asking in 1 year, what are people going to achieve with these IQ streams? So you can try by yourself if you're familiar with, or even if you're not familiar with Genesis processing, that's a good way of getting attracted to this topic. Another highlight for me, I've been waiting for nearly 10 years for a space-borne satellite, NISAR, between the Indian Space Agency, ISRO, and NASA, and it's been launched in July 2025. And this is an L-band, so 1.2 gigahertz, and S-band, 3 gigahertz satellite radar, and I'm going to show you actually that we can receive these signals, and then you can actually have a lot of fun. So at the moment, there is a whole collection of space-borne radars. There's a couple of companies, Capella, Umbra, just fantastic. If you read the BBC News, you're going to see a few of these pictures illustrating the BBC News. They show 25-centimeter resolution radar, so all weather, all illumination, from 800 kilometers away. Just fascinating. ISA is a Norwegian project of space-borne radars. So there's a whole collection of space-borne radars broadcasting this information. And again, NISAR, similarly to Sentinel-1 and to Luger, are claimed to publish the raw IQ streams, the level zero data sets. At the moment, I have not seen data. I think this week I saw a few first files being uploaded on the Alaska Satellite Facility, ASF. You need an account, but it's free of charge, and I think you can give a dummy email address. They're not going to verify. Unfortunately for us, also beyond these launches, I think many of you might have started SDR with the low Earth orbital satellite from NOAA. And that's finished now. In August, the last broadcast of an OAA weather analog satellite was switched off. And that's the end of, since the 1970s, of continuous observations of the Earth using the analog signals from an OAA. So now we're left with, well, to the best of my knowledge, the Meteor M2, the Russians' CCSDS-compliant satellite, which again makes the entry level of SDR much steeper, because we used to have an analog signal. You just put a wideband FM receiver and you send this on your sound card. You had something to listen at. Now you need a QPSK decoder, and then you get JPEG images, and you need to assemble the JPEG images. To me, it took 1 year to figure out how Meteor M2 was working. So that's another challenge. And actually, my colleague Thomas Lavarenne spent a bit of time decoding the latest Meteor M2N, because they differ, each of the Meteor M2 differ a little bit from the previous one. So you need to adapt the decoding procedure. One of the highlights for me, we have one new radio developer. Where do I see Johannes on the back? One of the highlights for me is new radio is stable. It hasn't changed forever. It doesn't change API. It hasn't changed configuration file. For a second year in a row now, I think we have the same GNU radio version on all distributions, on all operating systems. In January, I taught in a Paris university, 15 students, 14 of which were running Windows. Unfortunately, this means that still 90% of the French students are running proprietary operating system. And all of them, to the best of my knowledge, managed to install GNU Radio on their Windows computer and run the lab sessions. So that's really nice, because it means that instead of keeping on repairing things that used to work, which seems to be